This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. What is going on? Congrats to the Warriors. 5 championships. Wow, masterful. Steve Kerr has like 9 as a player and coach. That whole organization just built to last, right? I don't think this is going to be the last we see of them. Definitely mark my words. But we're not going to necessarily make this all about the Warriors, only because I've pretty much already done that in my last couple of podcasts. I've already told you I have Warriors in 6. I explained why. I told you all my concerns with the Boston Celtics, not to mention the offensive firepower that the Warriors had, not to mention the defensive effort that stepped up. You can tell they've been watching film. You can tell that they just figured Boston out. And that's why I had them in 6, because I knew it was just a matter of time. Yes, Boston did have the advantage of strength, length, and youth on their side, right? When you think about the core. But at the same time, first year head coach Ime Udoka, phenomenal job. We can't say enough. Just the Boston Celtics as a whole, because remember, Tatum's just turned 24. Brown just, you know, he's 25. You know, these guys are young. They're going to be around for a while, and they should definitely look back at this season and say to themselves, we've accomplished so much more than we first had set out to be. And when I mean first set out, I mean like the start of the season, not when they decided they're going to turn things around and keep the core. And, you know, they've come a long way. They've learned a lot. You definitely learn a lot more from your losses than you do from your wins. So they can definitely take this and learn from it. But at the same time, I'm not going to spend a lot of time dogging Jason Tatum. He is 24. He did play the most minutes out of everyone. And this is not to make excuses. Like, don't think that this is what it's about. Because people think that when you give them facts and you actually say what it is, like, this is just a reality. I mean, he is a human being at the end of the day. He can get tired. I know everybody's like, he's 24, there's no excuses. It's like, again, it's not an excuse, but it is a reason for why we saw such a lack of effort. Like, I know a lot of people, like I said, they were coming down hard on him, but a lot of times I feel like, so you're just going to bring them up, right, just to tear them down. No, that's not what I'm going to do. But what I will do is explain. So Tatum did a heck of a job when he went against the Nets. When you think about his body of work and what he was able to do when he went against a guy like Kevin Durant, you know, a guy that he looked up to, but trying to surpass. And ultimately, he outplayed Kevin Durant. And I'm only talking about that series in particular and just that matchup in particular, because it's kind of what happened between Wiggins and Tatum. And obviously, Wiggins is not Durant, but stay with me. Wiggins played exceptional. And a lot of people get lost on the offense, but I'm not even talking about the offense. I'm talking about his defense, shutting Tatum down, making Tatum appear as though the moment was just too big for him. I don't believe that. I don't think the moment in playing at home in Boston, game 6, was just too big for him. I'm not buying into that. I just believe we're not. I just think when you say that, you're not giving enough credit to the other team, because it's not like he wasn't being defended. You know, it's not like he was open and he was just missing, right? No, he wasn't able to get to his spots the way he likes to. Even when he was driving, he didn't even seem to have the legs, or, you know, driving through traffic. I know he should be working on that in the offseason. Matter of fact, I know he will be working on that in the offseason. Because if you're watching film, you should know that that was Jalen's problem too. But the problem is, the thing is, Jalen Brown, he scored 34 points. He needs to work on his turnovers. But when you look, not just at the points, like in a box score setting, I'm talking about when you were actually watching the game and how Jalen Brown was keeping him in it. Timely hoops. Al Horford. I even said, if it wasn't, like, everybody put so much stock into Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. But at the end of the day, if Al Horford wouldn't have done what he'd done, if Brad Stevens didn't get Al Horford back, that could have easily have been a sweep. You hear me? I said that. Al Horford was the glue. And I think that's like the biggest problem with the Celtics. And that's not to take away from Al Horford's leadership. He's the vet there. He's the one that's kind of pulling guys aside. You know, like, listen, this is what we have to do sort of conversation. Like, you guys are the best. But, you know, in order for us to follow, this is what you guys got to do. You know, that type of thing. But I feel like on that team, there's no real floor general. There's no real leader of that team. And we've already established, just like in other cultures, that you don't necessarily have to have the best player on the team to be a leader. I remember back when Carmelo Anthony was on the Knicks and you had Chauncey Billups at the point. Now, obviously, Carmelo Anthony is the best player on the team, but he wasn't the leader of that team. Chauncey Billups was. It's the same thing with the Golden State Warriors, right? You have Steph is the best player on that team, but he isn't you could say, like, the engine, like the boisterous leader of that team. That's Draymond. Now, people would argue that, oh, that's Marcus Smart. You see, I thought so too, right? But when you really look at it and you really just kind of think, you're kind of like, that role seems to change an awful lot. It should be the same. You know, it shouldn't be fluid. It shouldn't be like, okay, one game you're going to lead, the next game I'm going to lead. Because I would argue game one, Al Horford was clearly the leader of that team. Right? Maybe game two was a different story. Maybe it was more Marcus Smart. I mean, game to game, I felt like it changed. And that was my concern going into the finals. When everybody had Boston and everybody had their reasons, but my biggest concern was we can go right through it. Now, outside of the Nets, the way they swept, I mean, props, major props to the Celtics. I was like, okay, the Celtics are here, they're coming. But when you're playing against the Bucks, right? Giannis, nobody's going to stop that man. Let's face it. Giannis is Giannis. But Middleton is injured. Middleton's not even playing, right? So how is it that it took the Boston Celtics, fully healthy, I'm not sure if that was a series with Robin Williams III, but you know what I'm talking about, their core guys. It took them 7 games. Now, when I saw that, that's what kind of gave me a cause for pause, as Stephen A. Smith would say. It really did. It really made me sit there and say, okay, Giannis doesn't even have, you know, his Robin, so to speak. But yet, it took the Celtics 7 games, and they almost lost at that. I'm like, okay, you know what? They're battle-tested now. Move on to the next series, right? Miami, clearly banged up from Kyle Lowry. to Jimmy Buckets, right? After that one crazy, like, what, 40-point performance he put on? Or 40-plus points, what have you? But outside of that, Miami was just wounded. They weren't playing like themselves. At times, you couldn't even tell, you know, who the main leader is. I mean, you know it's Jimmy Butler, but I still feel like you need a guy that can take over, a closer. And there's always arguments that go back and forth, whether that can be Jimmy when healthy, of course, or if they're still missing that other piece, right? But again, even with Kyle Lowry in and out the lineup, Tyler Hero looking like a shell of himself, Robinson not even playing, that's another conversation for another day. Jimmy Buckets, you already heard about his knee inflammation, and who knows what's going to end up happening this offseason to deal with that, to see what that was really all about, because I know that wasn't talked about as much. Victor Oladipo, you already know everything that he's been through trying to come back, and gave them some really good minutes, especially defensively. Still trying to come into his own as the player that he once was. I hope he does. I loved him over there in Indiana. But point is, the Celtics still needed to take that to 7 games. Now, this is my point. When I was talking about Tatum and how many miles he already had on his body in that season, I mean, in the playoffs, because they didn't take care of business, right? The way they should have. Middleton's not playing due to injury. You got to capitalize on that. Sure, I'm not even going to sit there and say you got to sweep him, but it shouldn't have took you 7 games. You know, maybe 6 at best. That's extra rest time you're missing out on. Like, those things matter, especially if you're trying to go deep into the playoffs, finals, rather. Especially when you're going up against the Golden State Warriors. Because after a while, when you were looking at that series, you know, while the East was going on, you're over there looking at the West and you're seeing who can come out of the West, especially what happened with the Suns and everything, you were like, okay, this is who the Celtics are going to have to face. So they need to get it together. And even Tatum joked around and kind of said, yeah, we seem to like things the hard way. And it's like, now why that may have been a joke, but at the end of the day, that's what hurt them. Like, they definitely ran out of gas. Definitely. Like, they weren't prepared. Like, even if you listen to the Golden State Warriors when they talk, right, when they speak on championships and when they talk about what it takes. Now, remember, they've been removed from the playoffs for the last 2 years, obviously because Klay's been out. They've been dealing with a handful of injuries to go around between Draymond, Steph, you know, the whole core, right? And obviously Iggy's getting up there. But the point is, when you hear Steph talk, he speaks of, oh, I was preparing, you know, to get back into the finals last year. Last year. Meaning he's building up his body. He's conditioning. And you've already seen the muscle and the different things that Steph has been doing in order to make himself not only more valuable, but just more successful, because you know it's not going to get any easier. They've realized that getting to the finals, like, year after year after year, it's just not normal. Like, they definitely normalized it because they're clearly a dynasty. Whether you want to call it one or not, they clearly are. They know that there's going to be certain things that they're going to have to do to get better. It's all about getting better, because people are coming for you. You win the championship, they're coming for you every night. Now they're circling the calendar. This is not the Golden State Warriors who are you know, dead last in the league just a year ago. This is not that same team. So it's all about the mindset, right? I know I've talked about this before, how the off season is just as important as the regular season, especially when you're thinking about the postseason, because it's all about conditioning. It's getting your body prepared for what it's about to endure, because you're going to be banged up. You're going to be achy. You're going to be tired. You're going to be tired. But how can I push past that? How can I play through that? I mean, that's also something where the coaching staff has to get used to, right? Ime Udoka figuring out when he can manage his minutes better. You know, knowing when to rest him. But at the same time, it's up to the players to execute. It's really up to them. I mean, as a coach, you only can do but so much. Because when you're out there, you have to be out there. You have to have those meaningful minutes, you know? And if it's not, and he's pulling you out the game and you're tired, and because when you think about Tatum and how 13 of his total points, right, 11 of them were scored in the first half. So that means he only had 2 points for the whole second half. In a closeout win game on your home floor, that if you lose, the Larry O'Brien trophy will be celebrated on your home floor, and you're going to be in the locker room hearing all of this, you know, just full of regret, full of what if, only if we had done this, only if I had done that. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. Like, I think that's, like, probably the toughest pill that he has to swallow right now. But I've always spoke on, you know, the greats that have gotten this far and didn't necessarily reach the mountaintop, you know, in their, you know, at 24 years old. They had to learn some lessons. Right? They had to figure it out. They may have gotten that far, but they weren't able to, you know, they got as far enough, you know, just on the precipice of success. And that's where the Celtics were. They were right there. A lot of people picked them. Even though the Warriors had the commanding lead, the people still picked the Boston Celtics because they believed in their defense. And I love defense. Don't get me wrong. But the way the game is played today, the better offensive team is going to beat the better defensive team. And that's not to say that you don't have to play defense on the other side. That's not to say that at all. But whenever you're watching a game and you see, you ever hear the announcer say, oh, that was really good defense, but, oh, he made the shot. That was just better offense. That's the game that we live in right now. That's where we are. So understanding all that, the Celtics have to be better, I would say, definitely conditioning, definitely just getting through your routines to the point where you don't need to think about it. Now, this is what I mean when I say that. Now, I hear a lot of people say they don't know what happened to the Celtics. Even in the beginning of the game, when you're not even just blaming it on all them being tired or whatever else, or Tatum's shoulder or whatever you want to say. When I saw the amount of turnovers that were going on, it wasn't just because the Golden State Warriors figured them out. It was also because the Celtics knew the Golden State Warriors figured them out, and they were thinking on the court. Like, I don't mean thinking in a good way, where this is like high basketball IQ and you're trying to make the smart play. No, I mean thinking to the point where you're indecisive. You're not sure what you want to do because you're already thinking that whatever you're about to do or whatever you feel comfortable doing, the Warriors already got your number. They already know where you're going to be. They already know where you want to go. and they're going to be there. And they're going to force that turnover. And you know what? The refs were letting them play last night. Now, you can be a for it or against it. I mean, it doesn't matter what sport it is. It seems like somebody's always got to say something about the refs. But honestly, I don't really have much to say about the refs, you know, outside of just like a joke or two here and there. Because for the most part, they were just letting them play. And whenever Jason Tatum or you had Jaylen Brown putting their heads down, driving the ball through, you just knew there was going to be a turnover. Like, it was just like, why do you keep doing that? Like, that is so not working for you. And then when they realize they're in trouble, they jump and they try to make that quote unquote smart pass, right? The better pass instead of just thinking it more through, which is kind of crazy because I just said they're not supposed to be thinking. But I mean thinking it more through in terms of not putting your head down and just going straight towards the back basket hoping for a foul call, because I think that's what they're thinking. As long as I just put my head down and go to the basket, I'm sure somebody's bound to slap me, you know, before they get to the ball and I'm going to get the call. No, this is finals basketball, especially if you have a 6'3 guard on you like Steph, that you're not getting that call on Steph. Like, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to force the issue in another way and make a better play, make a smarter play. Like I said, that whole jumping off one leg and throwing the ball or over the shoulder passes, and I'm like, I know LeBron makes that look really easy and he actually makes it look cool at times. And don't get me wrong, Steph's guilty of that too. But we're not going to rain on Steph's parade because he won, right? So we only really highlight, you know, your deficiencies only really get highlighted when you lose, you know, because obviously whatever they did, whatever, it still worked in spite of whatever deficiencies they may have had. But just understanding that the Celtics need to be smarter. Draymond Green actually said it on his podcast when he was alluding to who was the brains of the operation. Like, he spoke very highly of Ime Udoka, the coach of the Celtics. He spoke very highly of Marcus Smart, actually kind of comparing him to himself. And even Marcus Smart actually liking that comparison, saying, you know, it's an honor to be mentioned in the same breath as Draymond Green because of what he has done for the Warriors, right? So Marcus Smart, intelligent player. I still don't feel like being number one, being the point guard is right for that team. That's just me. I don't feel like that's a right fit. I think if he slides into that two position and they get themselves a point guard, a legitimate point guard, whether if it's scoring, like I would say pass first. That's what they really, really need because they have some scoring power. But ultimately, you need a guy with vision, a guy that is able to get guys going like Tatum, right? And stop creating, because when you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown trying to create their own shot constantly, the ball stops moving and the defense already figured you out. The defense is already set, and it just, that's not what you want. The Celtics are best when they had the ball moving. When you look, when they were playing actually at a fast pace, when you think about in the beginning of game six, when you saw that first quarter and you were like, whoa, the Celtics came out swinging the ball. The ball movement was crazy. Nobody was just holding on to it. Nobody was just putting their head down and driving in. I don't even think there was one turnover, maybe one, if I'm calling that correctly. But if you did, like if they did turn the ball over, it wasn't like an impact turnover. You know, it was one of those wrong place at the wrong time type of things. You know, guy passing the ball and he thought he was supposed to be there and wasn't there. Just like more like a miscommunication. Nothing crazy. But they got it going. But I just feel like they stray too far away from what works to what doesn't work. And that's because when you become uncomfortable, and this is for anything or anyone, you always, always try to go back to what's comfortable. It's like your default setting. They need to change that in the off season. They need to change that default setting. They need to be more comfortable being uncomfortable, if that makes any sense. Because that whole isolation with the ball not moving, that's going to get them into trouble every time. Ball security, I mean, with that just goes without saying. That's paramount. Paramount, especially when you're playing against an experienced team that's already won a couple of championships. You know, you're on your home floor. They're supposed to be feeding off the crowd. I didn't really get any of that sense of urgency outside of that first quarter. Like, after Golden State took over, and it was like, a 27-point swing, it was over. If you went to bed early, like, it was okay. Yeah, you did miss the Celtics try to fight back, and that's why I give it to Jaylen Brown. I don't have anything bad to say about him because he showed heart. He was trying to keep them in it. Al Horford, too. But that's also leadership, right? Like, leading by example. Like, we're not going out like this. They're not taking it. Not on our home floor. Like, you saw it. Jaylen Brown was doing everything that he could. And I know Tatum was, too, but it just wasn't enough. They definitely just looked like how I was afraid they were going to look. Because don't get me wrong, like, it would have been nice to see if the Celtics could have pulled it off. Like, who doesn't want to see something spectacular? I mean, that's a heck of a turnaround. Going from, you know, in January, you're just figuring things out right before you're about to split up. Now all of a sudden, you know, you're just running through teams and you're able to beat the Warriors. You know, not allowing Steph to get that finals MVP. And, like, that's like, wow. But I just thought, like I said in the previous episode, it was just too tall of a task for them to be able to get that done all in one season. I felt like they learned a lot. They grew a lot. They have so much to build on as long as everybody's willing to. And the sky's the limit for them. But trying to learn all that on the fly is tough. I'm telling you, they need a leader, a more consistent leader. I thought that was Marcus Smart. But someone who can distribute the ball and make sure the ball just keeps moving. And I didn't see that. Not consistent enough, especially if you want to win a championship. Enough to get you through the regular season and through the first or second round? Sure. But they've already got a taste of the finals now. Boston's already got a standard now. Because one thing that they can say is that we got out of the Eastern Conference Finals. They made that quantum leap forward. Now it's just up to them how far they want to go. It's not going to get any easier. Some people are already calling the Warriors to run it back. Like, I'm not trying to make no predictions already. I mean, the finals just ended, like, you know, not even 24 hours ago. So I'm not ready to go there yet. But Vegas did. You know, they're already talking about the Nets and everything else. But what I will say is the Celtics are going to have a defining offseason. And what I mean by that is they now have an offseason to work on the things and to clean up the things that they know will aid them in getting a championship. Like, it is what it is. They know what it takes to get there. They understand what they did wrong. They didn't even watch film yet, and you can already hear them in the press conference. Like, they're saying all the right things. It's just a matter of just doing it, right? In real time. Because you see what you have going up against. But I think a lot of it was, like, they kind of bought into the hype that was surrounding them, because everybody made it seem like it was going to be a cakewalk. And that's one thing I couldn't understand. I was like, all right, that's kind of not seeing the bigger picture, not seeing everything as for what it is. But yeah, like I said, Boston Celtics have some changes to make, some moving around. Al Horford has been a stud. I hope they keep him, bring him back. I believe he's still under contract. But when it comes to the core, they're just going to need that point guard. I think we already saw what Marcus Smart was capable of doing. And I don't really see that getting any better, because Marcus Smart he is who he is. And he's great. Defensively, great. Could knock down threes. Marcus Smart is just a very cerebral player. He's definitely that guy that you need on your team. But I would get more of a one. Now, there was a lot of talk about top 10, Mount Rushmore, which is the top 4. Because that's just what happens when the Warriors are a dynasty, right? And they're still on their run, probably looking for more. And everybody was saying all Steph needed was that MVP, that finals MVP championship to kind of solidify him into that top 10. Well, I'm going to have an episode dedicated just that for that. And I'm not revealing anything, regardless of what anybody thinks of why I'm not going to reveal it just yet. But I'm going to tell you why I'm not revealing it yet. For one, it's going to be a long episode. And I want it to be a debate. Because I don't want you to just hear my opinion. I want you to hear my opinion up against other people's opinions. So I want to make it more fun. I want to make it more competitive, you know, more genuine. Yeah, I'm going to have my opinion, but we're going to put it up against other people's opinions and see what people think. Because it's just more fun that way. You know, so I'm not going to say anything, not just yet. I've procrastinated long enough with my top 10 GOATs overall. Like, because it's hard. Like, I hate it when people kind of just come off the top of their head and they say who their GOATs are. Like, that's a lot. And it's so hard to do. You know, a lot of people think it should be broken down to position. And it, even that's difficult, especially with positionless basketball nowadays. And there was even an argument about whether LeBron is a power forward, you know, or a small forward, rather, or whether he's a point guard. You know, and I'm just like, he's listed as a small forward, but I get the argument, you know, I get it. Because then everybody always wants to make that Magic Johnson comparison. So that would be his, I don't know. Some people want to go by, like, the size of a guy, right? Like how tall? Because what Steph Curry is able to do at 6'3", I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. It's transcendent. It's generational, you know, talent. LeBron even called it the chosen one talent. So that's pretty big. But yeah, just giving y'all something to think about. Maybe sometime for you guys to get your list together and let me know what you think and we can go back and forth. Because it's not going to be easy. If you're really studying basketball and you love it as much as I do, there's no way it's going to be an easy decision. You're really going to have to sit down and really figure that out. And that's how I'm going to treat it, so I hope you do too. But guys, that's my time. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.